Welcome to Work of Art, the Mason Gross podcast, produced out of Rutgers University's Mason Gross School of the Arts in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We are a community of nearly 1,200 undergrad and graduate dancers, musicians, theater artists, filmmakers, and visual artists from around the globe. My name is Laurie Granary, and I'll be sitting down with some of these artists, discussing what fuels their curiosity, their passion, and their impulse to make. When dancer Ariana Speight and flute performance major Sana Coulter met as Douglas Residential College students, they felt an immediate kinship. That kinship eventually yielded CREATE, Cultural Rhythm Expressing Art to Empower. The student group aims to integrate various art forms at Rutgers University: dance, music, theater, film, visual arts, and music technology, and to more adequately acknowledge Black and Latinx artistic influences. But really, just as importantly, CREATE seems to engender a sense of community for artists who often find themselves the sole person of color in the practice room, on stage, in the classroom. As Coulter has said, when you're the only minority performing on a stage to an entirely white crowd, it makes sense that you may begin to doubt whether you belong there. And this is one of the topics we hold discussions on with CREATE members. Their robust Instagram, Rutgers CREATE, regularly serves up bite-sized history lessons, highlighting prominent artists of color. And in March, CREATE hosted an art career workshop that delved into the need to be both creative and entrepreneurial. And the organization recently encouraged members to support an event that included a discussion of representation in film. In short, CREATE serves as a resource, water in the well. Both Speight and Coulter are in their final year at Mason Gross, but they hope to bring CREATE along with them as a source of nourishment, a kind of bread for the journey. Ariana, Sana, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So I would love to talk to you about the collaboration that you formed via CREATE. My first question, though, has to do with how a dancer and a flute performance major met up and decided to do this. I mean, you're all so busy at Mason Gross. I know often this cross-pollination doesn't happen as much as we would hope it would.
Right. Hi, this is Sana talking. Me and Ariana actually met outside of Mason Gross, and we met at the freshman dorms of Douglas Residential College. And we were just a few rooms apart on the same floor. And I believe we met in like the dining hall, just sitting there talking and trying to meet people as freshmen. And we found it so interesting. I didn't know that many artists or people at Mason Gross that were in that Douglas Residential College dorm. Mm-hmm. So we were able to have conversations about being artists and just connecting on that level first. And that's how we became friends.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the need you saw for something like CREATE on this campus.
Personally, I think I saw the need. It started off when I had an ethnomusicology class, and it was the first class where we talked about cultures that were outside of, you know, Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart, and we were going into different cultures, what their artistic processes are, their musical instruments, and it just blew my mind that, like, there's so many instruments and musical cultures and different types of arts out there that we don't necessarily talk about in music history classes. So I wanted to create a space where we could have those discussions, not only from older times, but also art that's currently being made. And then I put more emphasis on myself as a Black musician, knowing that it's a small percentage of us, at least here at Rutgers, but also in the greater artistic world. When you look on stages, you know, you rarely see minorities on stage or rarely see composers and their works being created. So I wanted to create not only the space where we could talk about all these different cultures, but also the artists that are here at Rutgers come together and collaborate with one another and meet one another. Since there's so many different arts disciplines, but we don't really see each other because we all have really busy schedules and we're practicing. So it was nice to meet different people. And I'm here and I'm a senior, and starting this organization, I'm meeting so many people I've never seen before. Yeah. And we've been here this whole time. So, yeah.
What about for you, Ariana? What need did you see, and what does this mean to you to do something like this?
I thought this was really important work, and I was so excited to be a part of it. We talked about earlier that there's a lack of collaboration and communication even between the departments, and it's really outside of those spaces that you come together. And it is sort of limited in the minority pool. So when you come together in a space of artists of color and you're like, oh, we are here, we exist, and we're in every department. And out of that, like, collaborations have happened with like dance and acting, or like poetry and things like that. So it's exciting to see what's come out of that.
I definitely want to talk more specifically about those collaborations. But I'm also interested in knowing what it's like to be in a space with people of color where you are not the most underrepresented person in the room. What is the comfort of that, the excitement of that?
I think it's really eye-opening, and as an artist it's really inspiring because you're surrounded by people who understand you not only on an artistic level but a cultural level, and understand what art means in our community, but also as a sense of activism, because a lot of us use our work to express who we are, but also who we are as Black people, as Latinx people. So I think it's more inspirational when we're all together in that type of space.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's a word for me that can express that feeling of like warmth and community. Mm-hmm. And I've really been invested in creating and finding those spaces.
What are some things that you can talk about that you don't feel comfortable talking about with your other students who are not people of color? Can you talk a little bit about what you're able to address there?
Mm-hmm. I think not only at Rutgers, but in my classical training, ever since I was like in high school or middle school, they would talk about careers and how you make a career as an artist. And it was also really general. And not so much based to who I am as a person, as a Black woman. So I think in this type of space, it's different because you can talk about how to build that career, but as the person that you are, and being more realistic about the experience and not just saying, okay, you can, you know, go and perform here. It's a different type of environment as a Black woman and as a Latinx person, when you're going and building your art and building your career and how you can put it out there.
So, Sana, I just want to clarify what you're talking about. Do you mean you're talking about how to go into, say, the classical music space where you're auditioning, and how you might meet that space, which is filled with white people?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's so many percentages and studies done, and you really have to dig to find them, which I also find really interesting. But as a musician, I know in the orchestras it's about 1.5% of musicians that are of color that are on these stages and taking up these spaces. So being more realistic about what it's like jumping into those spaces is a good thing to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just speaking to a professor of color also about having to build your own space in these spaces. And so it's just a lot of extra work for yourself to find that support. And it's nice to like come into a CREATE meeting and to already have that as a freshman or something like that, something that I did not have, where you already have people that are doing it, doing what you want to do, and are about to go into the field, saying like, you have space here and you have support everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Ariana, I was thinking you were saying you were talking about this with a professor of color. Talk about what it means when you do have someone who is older and in the profession, a person of color, because I know what you're speaking to is that often you don't have that to hold on to. But what does it mean when you do? What's the difference?
Yeah, I think it's super important, and I didn't even realize that was what was missing from my like college career. And I'm happy to say I did have a mentor last semester, and we still keep in touch because she no longer is here currently. But having like those anchors in your program, like now and outside of the program also, it just reminds you that you can do it, and there is a place for you and people like you.
Right, because you're seeing it right there. You're seeing the reality unfolding, mm-hmm. a person who is already doing it. So talk about Create, about some of the activities that you've sponsored. Are you doing any more? I'm really happy to talk about that too, mm-hmm. This semester. Give us a sense of how this is fleshed out and presented itself on mm-hmm. campus.
Our first few meetings were more kind of general based, just to get to know one another and see what different type of arts there were. And there were a lot of people that were in Mason Girls, but also many who weren't. And a lot of people that were reaching out via Instagram or social media and email blast, just saying, oh, maybe I wasn't able to attend this meeting, but I would love if you could send that information through an email. So those were our first few meetings. And then it transitioned into thinking of the bigger picture. And how to help these people, like we were saying, building a career and how to go into the job field. Then we started thinking about the artist career workshop and turned it into a newsletter, actually. So we have about 8 artists who are professionals in their field. And it's something that is either performing art or administrative as well, because we understand that there is so much importance in arts administration and doing the behind the scenes work. So we want to educate people that that is also a career option you can take on. So we're going to have weekly newsletters coming out, and we're currently building the schedule of who will be featured each week. And we'll have these artists interviewed, ask them different questions depending on what they do, and also have them able to answer questions through a Q&A on our Instagram. So we'll have actual artists that are students here able to ask the questions, and they'll be able to answer as well. And the last thing that we're planning on doing for the semester and for the year is a video documentary, which is sort of like our version of a showcase, because we understand how much the artists here are busy, and everyone has so many different schedules, and usually April and May are very busy for the artists here at Mason Girls between recitals and final concerts and everything. So we figured, like, let's leave the artist creation and the timing and everything up to these people, and we're going to be doing a call out to artists, and we're going to take videos of whatever their art is and have them answer the question, what do you love about being a Black artist, or what do you love about being a Latinx artist, and then show us whatever their art is. And we're gonna make a video documentary compiling all these videos with their name, what their art is, what their year is, and stuff like that, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So it's a way to forge this collaboration, but to do it in a way that makes sense for people who are in a conservatory, mm-hmm. sure.
Yes.
Ariana, you had mentioned some of the collaborations that have occurred. Could you talk about a little bit about those, about some of the things that you've witnessed?
Yes. We had our senior solo duet concert last semester, and one of my friends who is a dancer did a collaboration with a poet, actor, and that was part of the sound score, was them reciting a poem that they wrote during the piece, and it was really lovely to see that and to see that bloom out of that collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I was saying at the beginning, so many times we put these walls up, even just between genres, mm-hmm. right? That's something that you have to bridge. Sana, I know you've spoken before about being in the classical music world from the time you were young, mm-hmm. and that the longer you were in it, the fewer people of color you saw.
Yes.
Right? Because being a musician is a lot more expensive than being a poet, right? Yeah. You know, it just is. And you talked about how you saw that as an element, mm-hmm. the finances. What's it like to, on one hand, be in something that you feel you're meant to do, right? Like it has, your heart is there, you're so drawn to it. But to also at the same time not see other people who look like you. Mm-hmm. So there's an immense sense of belonging, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Right? And then on the other hand, there's this dissonance.
Yeah.
And you talk about what that's like when you're in the middle of an orchestra and it's just you.
Mm-hmm. For years, just being an artist and constantly creating and collaborating with other people, and like you said, just seeing the number of people that look like me diminish, it was always a sense of trying to find balance of where I fit in. And for years, I felt like, oh, where is a space I can comfortably fit in? Or how can I do this art comfortably and fit in this space? But I realized over time that what made me unique was the fact that I fit out, per se. And the fact that I was creating art that not everyone else was creating, and that I looked different than everyone else, and that was okay. And that I want to encourage more people not to try and find a way to fit in, but create their art in a unique way that allows them to fit out. And it gives you more exposure. It makes people come up to you and ask questions because you're so different. And that's what makes it really unique. It's not a negative thing.
I think of the classical music world about how everyone is, you know, dressed in black usually, mm-hmm. right? So that you're kind of, you're subservient to the music, mm-hmm. and it's the idea of not standing out. And when you're young, a lot of times, like, it takes a while to come to that place where you're okay with being different.
Yes.
I wonder, you talked about how people come up and ask you questions. Mm-hmm. Is that sometimes too much of a responsibility? I mean, what sort of questions are people asking you?
I think at first it was like weird, just because it wasn't, people would say directly, oh, why are you black and why are you on stage? But it would be some type of like hidden way that they would try and ask that question. Like,
so what would they say?
Like, where did you start your training? Or when did you start your training? Like, type of shady kind of questions.
Kind of basically, what are you doing here?
Yeah, pretty much. And of course, it made me feel uncomfortable at first. But I definitely have to thank my family for being as supportive as they were. Because another issue in the minority community is believing that arts can't be a career, or you shouldn't pursue it past high school because, you know, what income is it bringing in? And the financial aspect of that, I can understand why they ask those questions. But my mom has always been really supportive of anything that I've done, and like tried to make ends meet when, you know, things were really troubling. So I have to thank that. And also a program that I was in early high school, it was the Juilliard's Music Advancement Program. And the purpose of what they did was bring minority students together that were really advanced in their public school training, and to come into a space where they can meet artists that are professionals and in the field, meet some alumni of the program. And it really pushed me to make music my major when I got to college. But I think across time, with the questions and things that people would ask me, eventually I started finding that, you know, there would be young black children that would come up to me after a concert, and they're like, wow. The first thing, I think something that really opened my eyes, was when a girl said to me, I've never seen a black girl play the flute before. And to me, I was like, really? Like, you know, we live in 2019, 2020, and you've never seen, you know, a black person, like, just play an instrument in general. To believe that that's not even an option for people that look like me, I was like, this is why I want to keep doing this. I want to create more programming for these people.
Yeah, I can imagine that kind of comment would be motivating. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ariana? Talk a little bit about getting into dance and your experience as a woman of color being in the dance world. I mean, did you go to dancing school as a little girl and wear a tutu, you know?
No. Well, my mom.
It's okay. You can come out.
sorry, I'm working on this cough. My mom is a dancer, so I was kind of born into the world a little bit. Attended all of her rehearsals, learned the movement on the side, was just part of my childhood. And then later on I was like, you know, I don't know, like, I don't want to be my mom, like, I want to do my own thing. And then returned to it later on, like middle high, and really started in school a lot of the time, working in that setting, but also outside. Like, I took classes outside in a studio, and from the first class, she was like, join my company. So I was like, okay, like, so it became like an after school activity, and then it was something I did like daily, and it just kind of built from there. And by the time high school came, it was like, are you gonna do this or not, you know? So I was applying for dance, for schools for dance, and I really did not expect that to be my path, but every year has kind of just kept leading me in that direction. So I'm really grateful to have made it this far.
Well, the way you talk about it, it sounds like it was kind of in the water, right? Yes, when you were little. But what has drawn you to it? Why are you still with it after all this time? What does it do for you?
Oh, gosh. It's, I mean, it's, I can't separate myself from it, because I think someone asked me a question like, dancer versus human, or like things you need for yourself versus, like, it's all interchangeable at this point, because I'm a researcher of movement, and it's in my daily life. It's how I see the world is through movement. And
give me an example. What do you mean you see the world through movement?
I'm just very observant, really invested in how people move and interact and move through space, just people watching a lot in public spaces, essentially, how people interact with me through body language, things like that. So it's just everything is, I'm really curious about life in general. So it's just further, it's further focused to these points of interest.
We live in a society that is so disembodied. You know, I always joke, you know, so many times we think we're these little heads walking through the world, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm so in awe of that mentality that so many movement specialists have, mm-hmm. where, you know, you see that connection. Mm-hmm. between mind and body. And that's something that's become popular to talk about maybe in the last decade or so, mm-hmm. but it seems as if people are starting to accept that a little more as valid.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's interesting. I teach yoga also. And this morning, someone came up to me at the end of class and said, you know, I'm working through like a weight loss regimen, but I also didn't want to disconnect from my body. So it was really nice to come to your yoga class. Like, this was my first class, and, you know, really grateful for that. And the way they worded that was so beautiful. It's like, diet is also a hot topic in a less healthy way. And for that person to say that, it was like really humbling, I think.
Well, you know, and the body is such a fraught topic, especially for women. Right? I mean, so many times our bodies are, you know, we're either objectified or, you know, there's so many fraught associations with women's bodies and with women's bodies, women of color. And so absolutely. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that as a person who not only loves movement, but it seems as if you're a person who analyzes movement. That knowledge, how does that inform how you move through the world, how you make dances? I know that's a big question, but I think it's important.
That is a big question. And I mean, that's kind of a balance, also being young and just out here, you know, like, how do you interact with other people? Looking at when you are fetishized or exploited in that way, how can you like change that or work with that, or, you know, like, it's kind of like
that dehumanization. How do you negotiate that?
It's like a play sometimes of I recognize that I am a sexual body in this space, but what else is there? And so it's just kind of coming to your own sense of like who you are and being comfortable in that, and it's kind of irrelevant on what those other views are of your body, because it's up to you how you want to, you know, work through that.
It's like you're taking up space.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
I love that.
That's really, that's a great way to put it, because I feel like that's really been this year, is like taking up space. And it gets very easy, and it's very surprising, the results of that, in like affirming and saying like, I am taking this space, even just on walking on the sidewalk. I read an article about that, about keeping your space on the sidewalk and have people maneuver around you. Even like, I don't walk in the middle of the sidewalk. I walk on the side, but some people will still try to take, you know, the entire space. So sharing and taking space and finding that balance is always really interesting.
That is really resonant. I know so many times I'm walking and I will move out of the way for anyone, and I will apologize when I should not be apologizing. You're learning that a lot sooner than I am.
Yes. I save the apologies for when they're really necessary.
Yeah, so that they mean something. Mm-hmm. For sure. I want to ask both of you how you've changed as artists, as people, because of Create. How are you different in these performance and rehearsal spaces now that you've taken this in hand?
I think Create has made me more proud to be who I am. I guess feeling or being a Black artist, it's a lot of emotion involved in it, because sometimes you go to rehearsals or you go in certain spaces where you feel discouraged. But every time I've thought about Create or seen something that reminded me of Create or just went to a Create meeting, I always felt proud and I wanted to step out and find more work out there that related to who I am culturally. I also find myself looking for more composers and trying just to seek out art to watch that relates to who I am as a person, and not only as a Black person, but as a woman. Yeah,
I feel like it's really directed my focus in terms of finding the spaces that I want to be in. Mm-hmm. And from there, like, even just winter programs that I did, it was like, I know these are the spaces I want to be a part of. Going to a conference in Philly, I knew that was a space I wanted to be a part of because of that, like, motivation and inspiration around that. And so it's helped me, like, career-wise also, just to continue to look for artists of color that are creating really honest work.
And that kind of leads me to my last question, which would be, okay, so here you are, you're both in your last semester here at Mason Gross. How do you take this out into the world? What are your plans? What are your hopes for how you take Create out into the world beyond Rutgers?
Mm-hmm. With Create, I have intentions of making it an actual organization after I leave Rutgers, because of so many people that have come up to me that don't currently go to Rutgers, or that are currently in Rutgers and are graduating as well, and are saying, like, this program is really necessary, or just this organization in general is very motivating. Can you please, like, continue, keep doing programming? So I would love to do something like that and create spaces for these people and continue educating people on how to be successful and be Black and Latinx in the artistic community. And personally, I feel like I do that with my own work as well, because what I love to do personally, and I'm in the process of finishing an EP that I've been working on across my years at Rutgers. And I love to combine the classical world with the different genres that usually contrast with that. So, like, R&B and hip hop are my favorite things to combine with classical. So I take both of my worlds and combine them, but still stay true to who I am as an artist and the things that I love and the roots and the music that I grew up listening to.
Yeah, that's amazing. I hope to continue to be a part of it outside of this and maybe forming these collaborations. And I also think I just have a new circle of friends that I can hold mm-hmm. on to that will still go here, but also that are graduating, and I'll have that with me as I move into the real world.
Well, thank you both so much. I think, you know, we all know that the artist's life is not easy. So having this kind of support, I hope it nourishes both of you on your journeys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.